Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Witches three have gathered once again down the winding path in the weird woods. We're gathered around a cauldron, as we all know, and we are making a stew, a witch's brew, in which we will turn into some fucked up spell. And to execute that spell, we will take to the air, riding along on our surfboards.
Surfs up,
beach bunnies. So, it's time for us to hang and fly.
This is so the antithesis of what witches do. Witches are not usually out in the sun, surfing on cool waves, hanging ten, dude, or anything like that.
We need a vacation.
I know, but if we take a vacation, it's a dark vacation, right?
But we live dark. We live in the woods.
I know,
you know.
So it's a vacation to even more woods or darker woods.
I want to hit up Malibu.
Here's the thing, you know this from watching Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, that witch stuff is reversed, right? So, like, good stuff is bad, and bad stuff is good, and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, should we just get into it?
No. This
no,
is
keep
good.
Going.
Surfing is just flying on water.
Oh. Man, you just blew my mind. That's some crazy shit there. Hey, everybody, I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And you're listening to the Chilling Podcast of Sabrina. We're going to be doing a recap this episode for Chapter 16, Blackwood, the fifth episode of Part 2
season
of
two.
The first season of Sabrina.
Season 2.
Pete, for the love of God, it's not season two. I keep seeing people doing this online and talking about it and be like, I'm loving season two so far. Very excited for season two. They're wrong.
Let me be honest. You're both wrong, because first off, who cares? Pete, and second off, Alex, who cares also?
All right. Fair enough. Let's do a recap before we jump into it. Lots of stuff to understand going on in this episode. But one thing you don't need to understand is anything about Sabrina's human friends, because they don't appear at all.
They out.
Yeah, they're gone. They got the episode off. They're on one of those surfing vacations you're talking about.
They are hanging 10 for all of them.
I would like to, before we start, just say possibly my favorite episode.
Really?
This episode.
Yep.
Here, wait. Well, let's have Alex recap, and then we'll come back to that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So Sabrina has been dealing with a lot of stuff. She is going to the Gehenna Station School. We really got to remember what this
you
is.
You always call it the Gehenna Station,
not,
and that to me is very, I can't remember when you say that.
That's definitely the Academy of the Dark Arts. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. But it's at Gehenna Station. That's the thing that's confusing me. Anyway, so she is going to the school. Father Blackwood is the head of the school. He is going to marry her aunt, Zelda, and Zelda is not actually in love with Father Blackwood, but she does want the power that she will come with.
And they've had
married.
A little sneaky on-again-off-again hookup-sesh relationship.
Right. We should also mention that this happened not during, but almost immediately afterwards, after Father Blackwood's wife died during childbirth.
Constance, I believe.
Constance, yep. They had two babies. One of the babies was spirited away by a witch who eats babies. Not a problem. Don't worry about it.
Totally cool thing
don't
to do.
Think about
absolutely
it.
Cool.
That's why I deposit all my cookies straight into Cookie Monster's mouth.
Smart.
The other kid, Judas, is a boy. That ties very nicely into Father Blackwood's whole thing, which is misogyny.
Misogyny is the whole thing.
Like,
he's
hardcore.
A wizard of being a dick.
Yep. He also has a secret society, or rather, as of this episode, episode not-so-secret society of dudes called the Judas Society. Sabrina's cousin Ambrose was essentially forced to join that society last episode.
Which he wanted to do, though.
Right. He kind of wanted to do, kind of didn't.
Well, he's been wanting to up his reputation ever since he got back in the good graces after he was banished for trying to blow up the Vatican for 75 years.
The tricky thing about it, though, is he got the invitation after his boyfriend Luke died off-screen, which certainly to me means maybe he didn't die or maybe we're going to see him again. We could talk about that probably at some point. So there's this Judas Society. Also, Aunt Hilda is the nice aunt.
Yeah, fun aunt.
And there are three other girls called the Weird Sisters, Prudence, Agatha, and the true hero of Chilling Adventures, Sabrina, Dorcas. Prudence is Father Blackwood's bastard daughter.
Yeah.
She is very much trying to take on the Blackwood name, but every time that happens, again, because Father Blackwood is a misogynist, he's like, nope, not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably all you need to know.
Definitely not. Sabrina is in love with a major bad boy.
Yeah,
the bad boy of all bad boys, Mr. Nick Scratch.
Oh, you're talking about Mr. Nicey Pants?
No, he's a bad boy. And as we all know, bad boys are cautious, careful, and caring. The three C's. and that's what he is in this episode. Their relationship going strong.
Oh, man. You know, what was really, like, real nasty was the way he was willing to help at the drop of a hat.
Johnny come lately.
Man, it was dark.
It got really edgy stuff.
So there you go. I can't believe I forgot about Nick Scratch.
That's what I'm here for, motherfucker. If there's an itch, I'll scratch it.
Another important thing you should know is about Lilith, a.k.a. Madam Satan, a.k.a. Principal Wardwell, the leader of the Baxter School. She has inhabited a human woman named Mrs. Wardwell. Turns out Mrs. Wardwell has a fiancé played by Alexis Denisov from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and I assume other things.
Yeah.
And he is a super nice guy called Adam who just wants to give her back rubs and hang out.
This dude is an in-house masseur.
Yes. And she has been feeling very conflicted about it. Specifically because she was the first bride of Satan, the Dark Lord, who has been showing up in all of his goat face glory. Bunch more now, very available to show up in Greendale. And she started to realize that maybe he doesn't love her that much.
Yeah, Satan's been fucking around, a lot. That's his whole thing.
Right, exactly.
So I think she's sort of having an awakening after they lost their bet about whether or not Sabrina was inherently evil. She's feeling frisky, and Adam is there to foot the bill.
Oh, boy.
How long have you been working on that one?
Not very long, and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Sure. No, we're just going to roll past it. Let's get into the episode and start it off with Pete. Why was this your favorite episode so far?
Well, I'll tell you one reason.
Great. That sounds good.
Great start.
Hilda was.
I'll tell you what. If you have more than one reason, love to hear that too.
Yeah, I would hold out. Like, let's spread them out over the episode, the podcast.
Hilda was a straight monologuing badass in this episode.
Interesting.
Handling goddamn business. It was impressive to see, fighting for her family, doing what was right. Hilda.
That's so funny because I felt like Hilda was sort of off to the side a lot in this episode.
Yo, fuck you for saying that. She's straight off the motherfucker.
We'll get to that plot point in a moment. I will say one thing that I thought was crazy about this episode. This to me felt like the second to last episode of the season. Just huge,
so much shit.
Huge plot points happening.
So much happening.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This felt like an episode of another show called Riverdale.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Oh, you should check it out. It's like this, but it's even crazier.
That's
like all these witches, but less magic, more crazy.
Oh, okay. All right, that sounds like
I love that show. And this show felt like it was paced up like many recent episodes of Riverdale have been. And that was cool, though I did miss, like, Lupercalia was my favorite episode of this part and season. This episode felt like not quite the same. Didn't love it as much, but still loved it.
It's definitely, as we're saying, a huge change of pace, particularly after you had, I'm in agreement with you on Lupercalia, at least so far, that got into the characters. It was fun. It was crazy. It balanced everything really well. It was very romantic at the same time. Then we got the Derek De Cerebus' House of Horrors, which, again, fun, like some plot movement, but it was more delving into the characters. And this was just pedal to the metal, nonstop. So many insane things happening. So let's start walking through it because so much did happen.
Let's get into it. We start on a sick back tat. As we should every episode.
Father Blackwood just shaving.
Just shaving it up. This episode is entitled Blackwood, as Alex said. So we're in his brain and with him a lot to this episode.
Yeah. Now, just quick question, because this is Richard Coyle with his shirt off. Is he more of a daddy or a zaddy? What do you guys think?
Oh, nice. Great question. I get this question a lot. I think he's a daddy.
What do you think?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
All right. I'm also going to go with daddy. So that's two daddies.
Two daddies to one abstain.
What is a zaddy?
I'll explain when you're older. Nice. Let's keep going.
He's visited by the Weird Sisters, who are up to their old weird tricks, and they give him a warning about the Spellmans.
I loved how this was staged.
Yes.
So you have the Weird Sisters standing there. They've been terrified by a dream that they've had. And when they're about to tell it, they link pinkies and then all speak in the same tune. Linkies, as it's technically called. Doctors call it that.
Yeah.
And it was very creepy. It was interesting to see them so scared and alarmed.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was especially great because as the episode goes on, Blackwood seems like he purely wins nonstop. The fact that we started with such a warning, even though this is Blackwood is by the end of this episode sort of cemented as a pretty strong villain for this part of the series, this gives us some nice hope that he also fucked up and is in trouble.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this is going to be a classic Pride Before the Fall type thing where he sets in motion the things that eventually lead to his downfall. Specifically, there's a moment at the end of the episode when it seems like the Spellmans have lost everything that I think indicates, of course, they're gonna fuck him up by the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's a fun question of will Sabrina be a Blackwood once Zelda is married? And Blackwood very clearly, we haven't really, it's not like he likes Sabrina. He sort of is dubious of her, but it seems like he's up to his own scams. I feel like this episode, he hates her, was established. And we don't really know why, but I think this episode also positions it about her parents, and he has much more of a tie-up in the history.
Maybe. Yeah. I do think there's going to be a swerve there.
Yes. I do agree with that because Wardwell, who we should talk about because she is involved with sort of setting that standard, she's hanging with Adam, and she's like, I need to fuck some stuff up because I'm too safe here with my husband-to-be.
Yeah. Right. This is the scene where they're having dinner, and she decides they're not going to get married, right?
Right.
Yeah. So
and she talks about what she thinks marriage is, and that's a real fucked up version.
I mean, I think some people do think that way, though, right? Who aren't the mother of demons. That was my whole point. I had nothing further to say.
Went to a dark place briefly. But let's talk about that. So Sabrina and Nick, a couple scenes later, have a vision of Sabrina's dad who's like, hey, I'm a ghost. Blackwood killed us. We were on a plane. The plane crashed. It's Blackwood's fault. And tasks Sabrina with getting revenge on his behalf.
And also continue his work.
Because as we learned later, he has this manifesto that he had with him that he was bringing to a character, the anti-pope, which is like the pope but opposite.
He lives underneath the pope.
I love the anti-pope. That is one of my favorite things this series has ever thrown out there. Every single time they mentioned anti-pope, I laughed out loud.
It's very funny. Also, the fact that he lives like in the basement of the Vatican, I was like,
it's hysterical.
Well, because the popes are like, don't go down there. That's where the anti-pope is.
Man. I mean, that's an exorcist thing, though, right? Like, there's always an exorcist movie that's just like, oh, there's an upside down church under the ground somewhere.
Yeah.
Don't go with that. That's where the devil is.
But the casting for the anti-pope was so amazing.
We don't meet him till a little bit later in the episode, but it's Leland Palmer from Twin Peaks, it's great. He's so good. He's such a good actor, and just seeing him, if you watch, he has just such a look of like, what's up with that guy? There's something off about that guy. And if you watch Twin Peaks, he really, the way his character plays out in that show, it's just so great to see him in this episode.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Just to jump back to that scene, though, it does turn out that the ghost actually isn't a ghost. It's Madame Satan pretending to be a ghost.
Yeah.
Classic Sabrina. Classic Sabrina being like, well, I've been told this information. It's 100% true. I'm going to act on this no matter what. Here we go down this hill. Like, we've talked about this before, but to compare it to Riverdale, which I actually have seen. Sorry, Justin.
What? Lied to Justin?
Yeah, I started watching it while we were taping this episode. Bit of speed watching.
That's fun.
I'm up to speed.
Time and a half.
We've talked about this before, but Sabrina is definitely the Archie of... of Sabrina.
She's got a couple Archies. It's got Harvey. It's a big time Archie. Sabrina's an Archie. And I'll tell you what, in this episode, Nick Scratch is an Archie.
What? What?
That kind of goes against what you believe.
I know, but he is, I mean, we could talk about it later on, but he's such a like, well, what should we do, Sabrina? What should we do?
Well, Sabrina in this episode, the reason I say she's the Archie is like, she is basically like, okay, I'm going to jump into this cart with no brakes and head downhill now. And that's what she does almost every single episode.
It drives me a little crazy.
And well, this is the episode, like, normally she figures out a way to turn it around right at the very end and save herself. This is the one where she crashes, where the whole cart, the wheels fall off.
Well, it makes sense. Like, her parents, last season was more her mom. This season, her dad is definitely sort of the parent that keeps coming back. so if a ghost of a parent comes back, you're going to be like, I should listen.
Sure.
You can't blame her too hard for that.
I guess. I mean, if my dad's ghost came back, I'd be like, first of all, my dad's still alive.
So if your dad just walked into the room and was like, hey, get revenge.
I'd be like, what's up, Dad?
You'd be like, are you a woman who's conjured a glamour to become?
Yeah. Second of all, I'd be like, Ghost Dad was not a good movie and Bill Cosby was in it, so we don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That's a good point.
Pete, any take on
to that?
Nope, they're all great points.
Still repping for Hilda, who we haven't really seen in the episode yet.
It's okay. Wait for it. She's worth the wait.
Okay, great. Let's see. So we had this. Zelda is prepping for her wedding to Blackwood, and there's a lot of stuff some hurdles she has to get through throughout the course of the episode. One, the ghost of his dead wife, who was disturbed by a wedding guest who doesn't like Zelda because Zelda has come into the school and sort of taken her thunder. That's complicated.
We should mention who the wedding guest is. Not just Shirley, it's Shirley Jackson. And the way, I don't think they mentioned her full name before. She was the one they put the earworm in the previous episode. But the way that they introduce her is they're taking these black stones to Zelda and Father Blackwood to figure out where everybody's going to sit. Doing the seating
chart. That's no fun.
And they take Shirley Jackson's stone and put it to the side. For those of you who aren't familiar, there's a pretty famous author named Shirley Jackson who wrote a story called The Lottery. And the point of the lottery is whoever loses the lottery gets pelted to death with stones.
Yeah.
So that's another classic Roberto Aguirre Sacasa show, taking a name from real life and then just turning it into a character, which is delightful. Like, I love that here. And I love that reveal that Shirley Jackson is essentially Shirley Jackson. Also, I was curious whether they don't like Shirley Jackson as an author because the amount of shade that they were throwing, she sucks.
And they keep saying, they call it Shirley Jackson sucks. They use her full name a couple times in the episode. Yeah. I was like, that's just targeted.
Yes, exactly. But that's fine. If you don't like her, you don't have to like everything.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So Shirley Jackson disturbs Constance. So her and Hilda have to say, hey, go back to being dead. It's over.
Hilda and Sabrina handled that real nice.
Yeah, I did love, to Pete's point, to back Pete up a little bit here.
Thank you.
I did love Hilda as the maid of dishonor, taking care of everything in the background, making sure everything will be right for Zelda's wedding day, even though she knows that Zelda doesn't really want to get married.
Yep. Yes.
That's just, I think we can jump ahead because I did really like that speech. She sits down with Shirley Jackson. They're having tea. Man. She makes her these almond cookies. And it's like, hey, maybe you could be nicer to Zelda. Maybe we could just be calm about this, work through everything. And Shirley Jackson, true to form, same as the author, is like, fuck you.
Fuck you. The lottery's cool. I mean, it's done in high schools a lot as a play.
Yeah, you love it. It's really well written. Anyway, she totally shades Zelda. It's like, you know what? I'll destroy you. And also, I have... a magic shield around me, so whatever. And then Hilda gives this amazing speech about everybody thinks I am as shy as a dormouse. I am very demure, but in fact, I will do anything for my sister. And by the way, the almonds were to mask the taste of the cyanide. And then Shirley Jackson dies.
You're dead. Yeah. Just,
man.
Oh, she was fantastic. She doesn't say just her sister. She also talks about her family, and it's just fantastic, that kind of reveal of, like, you think just because of this we're witches, this is nothing is like it seems. But it was such a great badass speech.
It's interesting that, like, the theme, I think she's established some of the theme for this episode, which is sort of anti-marriage in general, because there's a Wardwell has a whole anti-marriage tirade.
She then later she gets married to that dude, that human.
She gives him a ring that says, now it's time to pick a date, which I thought was funny.
Do we want to jump forward to that?
Yeah.
Sure. So Mrs. Wardwell, Madam Satan, whatever you want to call her, she is threatened by Satan. Satan says, you are mine. You belong to me. Kill the human.
Yeah.
She gets scared, and that's why she gives him the ring. I don't think it's so much about the marriage as that is a item to protect him and protect his life, because she is starting to feel like he is the one thing that is actually hers. She doesn't have anything else in the world.
So do you buy that relationship? Do you think that's a real...
I think,
this episode,
the fact that she didn't murder him says a lot. And then the fact that she was like, you can never take this ring off. This is real. And then I thought that was really... Very cool.
I'm not going to go ahead and say Madam is endgame or anything
Madam. Great stuff.
But I do think he gives her something. He is offering her, not even offering her, but showing her this path, an alternate path that she could take, that she could maybe live on Earth, go back to being a human again, actually have a life, whether it's with Adam or not, I don't think matters to her as much, but she wants to keep that option safe.
I hope it's real, because, I mean, she puts a ring on it.
Yes, she does.
That's a real move.
Plus, there's nothing like a good foot rub or back rub.
It seems like he must have very, like, muscular but soft hands.
What? Salvin, put your shirt back on. What are you doing?
No, I gotta air this out.
You're covered in baby oil.
Oh my God, I'm just very sweaty.
That's not not what baby oil. You sweat out baby oil?
I sweat baby oil.
You need to drink some more water. You are not hydrated, my friend.
I drink a bottle of baby oil a day and I'm good to go.
It's a viscous sweat. I do hope it's real, though, between Madam, because that makes the character, rather than just sort of this caricature of evil that I think she's become a bit based on the last episode with her and the tarot cards and her trying to poison all the kids in Baxter High. She's just like, I'm doing evil for evil's sake, when this would give her more of a story, I think.
But there has to be something else going on with Adam, right? I feel like the swerve there is, like we talked about, he was in deepest, darkest Africa finding cursed idols that he brings back to her.
Yeah.
There's no way that he could come in and just be this super pleasant, cheery guy.
Why can't he?
He's just not going to be. To be the thing there. She can't really escape from the Dark Lord. It's going to be something else vicious.
Don't you believe in love?
He's just going to be like a mummy or something.
Here's the thing.
He won her over.
He won her over because he's evil. And now she's protecting him. I don't trust him. And I don't trust marriage.
Yes, that much is clear.
Coming from a married guy, that's...
Not for long, Pete! Not for long!
Oh, my God.
She listens to this podcast. I love you, honey.
Oh, my God. You're an asshole, man.
You really stepped in it, as usual.
Oh, jeez. Let's just take off my pants, all right?
Nope. Again, you're just...
Sorry, the baby oil is everywhere.
Yeah, that's... it's only getting worse. Let's talk about... So Sabrina and Nick are on this sort of little side quest to find the manifesto. There's this fun scene where Sabrina lights some candles and Nick goes into a bathtub and
she's talking to the cat.
Her parents' manifesto, her father's manifesto, was crashed into the ocean along with the plane.
So they have to get into
the Devil's Triangle, which is like the Bermuda Triangle, but I guess somewhere else.
Maybe it's the same thing.
It could be. You can't legally say Bermuda. That doesn't seem right.
I think it's just, you know, yeah, more fun.
He pops up, and something happened when he went into the ocean that his shirt was torn off or something.
Well, he fought a monster, he said.
Yeah, the monster in his shirt.
Giant octopus, and the monster got the shirt. So if you see an octopus with, like, a tight-fitting button-down, that's Nick Scratch's octopus. Meanwhile, Nick Scratch, shirtless, Hilda comes in. She like him.
No, she just thinks they're doing some weird sex thing.
No, I think she was humming a humming a humming a in her ass.
Nick Scratch? No way.
She was like definitely like, oh.
Stammering a little bit. Yeah.
She was stammering because she thought she walked in on some sort of bathtub sex.
Don't think so. I think the sexual prowess of Nick Scratch is unstoppable.
Too strong?
It's too strong.
Are you shipping Hildy Scratchy?
No, I'm definitely not shipping that. But I'm saying when you walk in and see a bad boy in his element, like, you are stopped in your tracks.
Yeah. Are there any characters on the show who have a name like Little, so we could go up with a ship name like Little Nicky? Because that would be fun.
Would be fun. Everyone's favorite movie starring Adam Sandler and John Turturro, I want to say.
Really?
No. Is that?
I don't know. Probably Steve.
No, that's Mr.
Somewhere.
Deeds.
Remember,
he has like a foot. He puts a nail
in foot or something.
Anyway, I'm so sorry you just said that. I would edit that out. But we are sponsored by a lot of early Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, listen, we're Fandlers. What can we say?
Yeah, so Hilda's like, put a shirt on.
She is not like that. She just shuffles out.
No, yeah, she shuffles
says,
out.
Put a shirt on. She does say that.
So the Spellman Manifesto, we see early on in the episode, Blackwood's manifesto, which is like men rule, no women, and he's reading it to his boys' club, which is now featuring Ambrose, and you can see Ambrose.
The Hail Satan is that's a lot. It's
very Hail Heil Hitler.
Yes, that's definitely what they were leaning into this episode. It ramped up very quickly into fascism from last episode. From like, and you have the secret society called the Judas Society to now, like, there are shock troopers everywhere. They're all male. We are pushing down the female witches. We are ascendant. But Ambrose is very uncomfortable with what's going on.
Yeah.
He is not happy. He's standing in the back of the Dorian Gray Club, which, by the way, in case you weren't 100% sure, whether it was the Dorian Gray for the story.
Oh, it is. Happens in this episode.
Hardcore.
We'll get there.
But Ambrose, he doesn't like what's going on. I think he feels trapped. After he got these visions by the tarot the last episode, I think he was too scared to say no, and now he's stuck in this situation. Rather, by the end of the episode, he's certainly out of this situation.
Yeah, he's stuck in some worse situations.
Yes.
Let's follow that. Let's follow that thread. So because of his work in the Judas Society, Ambrose is guarding the anti-pope's chamber. Right. And you see Blackwood is not transparent. He's talking to his son, Judas, and he basically says, I'm about to do something bad.
Yeah. I'm going to, wink, wink, kill the anti-pope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obvious, right? Like, he killed the anti-pope. We all think that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Okay. There's no doubt.
Because later on in the episode, right during the, they're all hanging out.
What's that? We actually, sorry, there was one thing that we stepped over, which is probably pretty important, is first, there's the anti-pope's introduction, which we touched on a little bit. He goes around the school, says hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Sabrina stops him and says hello. He's very very complimentary of her.
Yeah.
Brings up that her father was supposed to have a meeting with him.
Yeah.
He wishes they had gotten to talk. Prudence also approaches him, and Father Blackwood is like, don't even listen to her.
Yeah,
doesn't matter
at all.
She's
a gutter orphan, he says. Which,
yes.
That's mean,
that's
even
cold.
If you're not related.
And then... to keep following that through, when they get back the manifesto, Ambrose, Nick, and Sabrina read the manifesto, and it's a super feminist manifesto about the female witches rising up.
And it's very pro-mortal. It's like, hey, we should be friends with mortals.
It's the opposite of his.
Yeah.
I'll throw something out at you, which I wasn't 100% sure of in the episode. This is very clearly Madame Satan manipulating this whole situation to make things as bad as possible. But do you think she created that manifesto, or was that actually Sabrina's father's manifesto?
I was thinking that.
I believe it really is.
Yeah, it seems like it would be, because it's weird that she would there's too much to concoct. I feel like she was just pushing Sabrina in this direction to mess up all of the goings on at the right. Academy of the Dark Arts. And it tracks with Sabrina's father, who, you know, he was married to a mortal and had Sabrina, who's half mortal, half witch. So it all sort of fits, and it's sort of interesting that it's like this misogyny versus feminist ideas just coming mm-hmm. together.
Right. And a couple of things.
I mean, even beyond feminists, it's like just tolerance. Right. Just normal human.
Yeah, we should be
normal. Yeah. A couple of things happen at the same time. Father Blackwood is asleep. Prudence comes up and tries to stab him and kill him. While that's going on, it is Aunt Zelda's wedding night, which means she can potentially be offered up to the Dark Lord, as she explains to Aunt Hilda. Aunt Hilda is trying to, you know, calm her down easily and say, then don't worry about it. If he doesn't come, it's okay.
Because it's an honor, but it's also horrifying that a goat man is going to come and have sex with you on your wedding night.
Right. Well, but also throughout the series, Aunt Zelda has had this complex about the Dark Lord never visiting her, never coming to her constantly. We had the dream episode, Dreams in a Witch House, where she very specifically was turned down by the Dark Lord for Aunt Hilda.
Yeah.
So I think she doesn't expect him to come, and she is nervous about that. And then he does show up in the middle, and Hilda very awkwardly shuffles out of the room. Hilarious.
Yep.
And then it quickly turns horrifying as the Dark Lord comes behind her and is about to have his way with her. But before that can happen, there is a scream. Mm-hmm. As the anti-pope's body is discovered, everybody runs into the room.
And it's wrecked.
Gross. Yes.
Yeah, it was hard to tell who it was a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes. And there were three guards outside, including Ambrose. Ambrose was having some weird stomach trouble right beforehand.
Yeah, and he was craving cheese.
And then he comes in. He has no idea how he's gotten there. All three of them are covered in blood. Father Blackwood immediately slits the throat of the first two guys with his nails, with his super sharp nails.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
That's super why you never cut your nails.
He's about to do the same thing to Ambrose, and Ambrose apparates.
Not the right word.
No, it is.
Is it in this world?
Not in this world.
Yeah, that's a word from another universe.
Bamps out of there.
He bamps also wrong.
Also wrong. What would you say that?
Teleports.
Okay.
He spells his way out.
He ninjas out.
He doesn't throw a smoke bomb and then disappear.
There's a little smoke.
Yeah, you can actually hear in the score playing under it, there's a little bit of go ninja, go ninja, go.
Yeah, definitely. There's, which is an expensive song to get the rights to.
Oh, man.
Vanilla Ice is just sitting in a money bin. Yeah, Pete unironically loves all of Vanilla Ice's work, especially Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
Quick, what's your favorite TMNT movie?
I mean,
I said quit.
The fact that you had to think about it.
No, I mean, the animated one was pretty badass.
No, but the live action ones.
Yeah, the live action.
There was the first one. Yeah, the second one.
The second one had Casey Jones in, which was personally, like, you know, we're really sidetracking here. I liked them both.
There was a third one, too, when they travel in time.
To Japan.
No, I'm talking about the Turtles two back recent ones.
No.
The old ones. The originals. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, and Turtles Back in Time.
Yeah, Turtles Back in Time was garbage.
Oh, wow.
Wow, nice. Good controversial statement. Well, that was a trap, obviously. They're all bad. Let's, let's keep
sure,
going.
So he jumps out, whatever you want to call it, whatever word you want to use.
He jumps out.
Jumps out. And the hunt is on for Ambrose. First, he goes to Sabrina.
In the middle of a sick consensual makeout sesh with Nick Scratch, local bad boy.
Yeah. He smoothly was like, hey, well, I don't know. I am top. You know, nobody's
it was
home.
Funny. And that's why I feel like Nick Scratch was being very archy. He was like, look at us. Home alone on a night. What do we do? Could do this. And then I just lay down and have a cute, like, very
innocuous. Whatever you want to do. I'll ask before everything.
Yeah. Classic bad boy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But Ambrose appears. He's covered in blood. He's like, I don't know what happened. The anti-pope's dead. Sabrina instantly takes charge, which I thought was really
great.
Cool.
It's great.
Nick Scratch hides Ambrose.
Yeah.
Sabrina runs
no
down.
Questions
There's
asked.
A horde at the gate led by Zelda and Blackwood. And it's like, Zelda, I thought you were on our side. Ambrose's family. And Sabrina does some great acting work. Like, what? I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, everybody believes her.
Everyone believes her because she's never been dishonest. And the I thought this was crazy. They're like, okay, well, we need to keep finding him. Meantime, we're going to have a funeral and a wedding for the Antipope and our wedding at the same time.
And that funeral was short.
Yeah.
Well, but they decide to do them together because what could be better than a dead dude at a wedding? And then they drink his blood at the wedding, right?
Yeah. Which is convenient.
Yes. Very. I mean, what were they going to do for Antipope blood at the wedding if the Antipope didn't die, you know?
Well, it's like wine. You got a couple bottles of also, old Antipopes.
They were like,
yeah, 5th century Antipope.
Also, they wrapped their arms in human skin. I was like, who
I mean,
died
that,
for
I
that?
Did that? I did that at my wedding.
Yeah, I did that
at
my wedding.
That's a very normal tradition.
I used some Antipope skin,
which is very hard to get. Yeah. Very lovely
Here's
ceremony.
Here's the nice thing, though. I was able to rub it down with my natural baby oil.
Yes, again, very supple, as I say to Alex a lot.
So before we get to the one wedding and one funeral, Ambrose jumps over to the gray...
Dorian's.
Yeah, there you go. I
Dorian's Gray.
Forgot the name. Thank you. Jumps over to Dorian's, pretends to be Dorian while Dorian jumps into his own painting, and they do a little bit of a switcheroo there.
That was cool.
That was great. I also thought it was really interesting to see that Dorian was on their side. Like, I think we could separate it into the good side and the bad side pretty clearly now.
Well, he says you're a friend of Nick Scratch's, so it's all about we want to be in the... Dorian wants to be a bad boy.
He's loyal to his customers.
And he's like, well, Nick likes you, Ambrose, so I will risk my life for you.
I mean, this is true, I think. You worked at a bar as a bartender, right,
yes,
for a while? If somebody buys a drink or two from you, you are legally obligated to protect them in the case of a murder.
Exactly. Go to bat for them, and if it goes down, I jump into portraits all the time, obviously. obviously. I'm happy to do
that's
that.
That's how you stay so young.
Really good bartenders can vanish into any sort of painting or even poster.
Mm. Wow.
That one where it's just a Lamborghini, it's like... My toys. I spent a lot of time on that one.
Yeah, I once jumped into the one of Albert Einstein sticking out his tongue. It's pretty upsetting.
Yeah, I know. Because it looks like he's having fun, but he's screaming in pain.
I'm absolute terror.
I was jumping to the hang in there one with the cat.
Nice.
How's that very, cat doing?
Very on brand for you.
Its arms are killing him.
Oh, poor kitty.
He's been hanging there for hundreds of years. Yeah. But at Dorian's, Ambrose not feeling well. He barfs up a mouse and turns out he was being ratatouille this whole time.
The whole time.
Man. He was controlled by this mouse into murdering the Antipope.
Yeah, but not the whole time.
That was his familiar, right?
Yeah, it was his familiar.
It was given to him by Blackwood.
Right. So Blackwood, at the very least, very strongly implicated in everything that's going on, which is why my natural sense is to think, nope, he actually had nothing to do with it, and it's all a frame job by somebody else. Maybe Nick Scratch.
Yo, what?
I don't know.
That's
I have no evidence for this.
Scratch mouse, scratch cat mouse.
I have no idea why.
But that's why he was craving cheese.
Yes,
that's a great clue.
So anyway, Nick and Sabrina decide to pull a classic Hamlet on Father Blackwood.
You, as a classically trained actor, had to have loved
I've pulled so many Hamlets in my day.
Really?
Just so many, like, oh, yes, well, the murderer is right here.
Yeah, they always confess.
I've been mixed. Exactly. It's crazy. It works every time.
So they pretend to be the drowned bodies of the Spellman parents, wander in the middle of the wedding funeral.
Murder.
And accuse Father Blackwood. Blackwood, which Sabrina does every other episode or so, I feel like. Accuse Father Blackwood of something. So I was glad, even though I was not happy for what happens to the characters, I was glad that Father Blackwood was like, okay, come on.
This is stupid.
Stop doing this.
It was also fucked up that Father Blackwood was like, okay, and the Pope's not here, so I will both conduct this wedding and be in it. I was like, come on, man, get a friend to stand up for you. Have someone do the Universalist Church thing.
Absolutely. Just sign up online.
Sign up online.
Yeah.
A celebrant.
I think it's they've ran out of speaking characters that could have done it now that Shirley Jackson is dead.
Yeah, exactly. I know, huge character loss. Yep. Obviously, Dorcas can't do it because she's useless and not important to this story.
Dorcas has a lot of other stuff going on the side. Yeah.
Between you two repping Dorcas and Hilda in this episode, Hilda was around, I'll give you that.
They're not busy. She's a boss in this episode.
I think things are heating up with Dorcas and Melvin.
I gotta hope so. I gotta hope that Melvin's really coming into his own. Well, we should say before we get to this, Ambrose, after he finds out that he's been being Ratatouille this whole time, he vows that he will kill Father Blackwood.
Yes.
And in the midst of the revelation that Sabrina, because once Sabrina's discovered by Blackwood to be doing that, she doesn't miss a step. She's like, oh yeah, well, I'm still mad at you. Sorry about the ruse.
And I will be heard. But what was smart by Father Blackwood is he goes, I'm going to need some backup during this wedding. So he goes to Prudence, hey, I know you really wanted the name. I'll give you the name. So that way he has a bodyguard who is there at the wedding ready to protect him for any reason. And she's... catches cousin midair.
So Ambrose appears to kill Blackwood literally at the worst time possible. Sabrina says something like, Ambrose is a good man who would never do anything bad. And he just, boom, he apparates right into the air. And he's stopped by Prudence, now Prudence Blackwood.
Right.
And then he is thrown into the witch's chamber, which is
this,
a place.
I got to tell you, this scene was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
Just the way that Chance Perdomo.
He was in yoga pants.
No, the way that Chance Perdomo played the scene, and you could see even as he's frozen, just the absolute terror in his eyes. Gutting to watch that. And then he gets thrown deep into the witch's cell, into a deep well where he's trapped and being tortured. Meanwhile, Sabrina says, oh, well, good, at least the wedding's off. And then Anselda pulls a classic Watchman and is like, don't you know, we already did it 35 minutes ago. And they were, in fact, already married. And then we get to watch...
Well, before that, Sabrina and Nick are expelled from the Academy of the Dark Arts, which makes me think they may be popping up at another local education institution, the Baxter High.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say Riverdale High.
That would be a twist.
Yes, it would. But yeah, they're of course, they're going to go to Baxter High, and then we're going to have hilarious Nick shenanigans where he'll be like, what is this? And try to put a CD on a record player, and it makes horrible sound.
Be like, oh, mom, my shirt fell off again. Yeah. Oh, whoops. Harvey, like, what did you pick it up? And Harvey's like, I'm old news.
Oh, I see. You were doing a different thing than I was.
That's right.
I was doing like an Austin Powers Wayne's World type thing.
That's cool. That's what people want.
So anyways,
I was doing a Nick Scratches a Bad Boy and Harvey's old news.
So anyways, the principal marries a human and...
Hold on. We already talked about this. They don't get married. She gives him the ring to protect him.
A classic save the date. Ring, which you got to, if you're proposing,
putting a ring on it, that means you're marrying them.
She literally says, this is a let's pick a date ring, which if you're getting married, make sure you have a lot of rings.
Yes.
You want to save the date ring,
tasting the cake,
ring, finding the venue ring, choosing the band ring,
quibbling with your parents about
there's only one time you
ring.
Put a ring on somebody's finger.
What's that?
When you're marrying
them. Lord of the Rings.
When you're watching it?
Yeah, exactly.
Every time I watch Lord of the Rings, I give my wife a new ring.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's lovely. Amazing.
We have three rings. Nah, I'm just kidding. I saw Return of the King a bunch of times.
Cool. So at the end of the episode, the Blackwoods leave, and Zelda gets a little taste of what she's been put into.
Again, horrifying moments if you're a fan of these characters, which I assume everybody is, but... Sabrina and Hilda are sitting on the side, almost crying, watching what's going on. And Father Blackwood is walking with Zelda and then says, no, the wife walks behind.
Oh,
and she is forced to walk about 10 feet behind him.
Like a long way.
As they go on their honeymoon to, where were they going to? Did we find out?
Yes, they do say, I forget now, but it was someplace. No, they're going to Rome. They're like, we're going to go.
Take the body.
Take the anti-pope back.
To the basement.
We're going to honeymoon a little bit.
Yeah,
in Rome. Yeah.
To under Rome, I guess.
And then also, hey, Prudence, you're in charge.
Yes.
The whole time we're gone.
That's we didn't really say this, but she was given the name because she tried to kill her father. He was like, you've earned the name Blackwood because you're a sociopath.
Yeah.
And he leaves her in charge of all of our witches.
So what do you think this is going to mean for Prudence going forward? She's gone through such an evolution over the course of the one season that's been split into two parts. Do you think she's going to fall back majorly? Do you think she is going to buck what Father Blackwood expects of her? What do you think is going to happen?
I think the beginning of the next episode, it's going to be Prudence in a white dress t-shirt, Tom Cruise Cruise style, like cranking tunes, sliding around the school, just singing.
Some witchy business.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, Prudence is sort of the mirror image of Sabrina. She came from this this dark place. Sabrina came from the mortal world, and Prudence has gotten sort of nicer over the first part, over part one, and now in this part two, her trajectory has gotten a little bit darker. So I think now I think she's going to be conflicted a little bit and eventually redeemed, but I think for a while she's going to be the antagonist to our girl, Sabrina.
I think so, too. All right. Before we wrap up, which witch reigns supreme this episode? Of course, Dorcas. We could just skip right by
Honorary
that.
Supreme.
Yes. Justin, which witch reigns supreme this episode?
Oh, man. So many witches to choose from. Do you go with your Zelda? Do you go with your Hilda because of what she did in this episode, as we saw, which is voluminous?
These are all witches.
These are all witches. You can choose
you're listing them.
But I'll tell you one. One witch, well, Warlock, really stepped up in this episode and was able to finally fulfill the bad boy promise of being both servile and good at kissing, no tongue, Nick Scratch.
Yeah. Pete, what about you? Are you going to do something predictable in your pick?
Yep. Hilda.
Man, you're
any particular reason?
Yeah, she was a total badass.
You've already said
episode.
That. What else did she do that you liked besides being a badass?
Do you know what I think it was?
Ones?
I think it was that she made cookies and Pete likes cookies.
That's true.
Also, she was very supportive on that night when the devil was visiting. So,
yeah.
What does that mean? Is that a thing you've experienced?
No, yeah. I'm just saying that, like,
you went
Hilda
completely pale
is
when you
a fucking
that.
Baller, all right? Yeah. You guys got need to recognize that a little bit more.
She's good.
I'm going to go with Ambrose this episode, specifically because I like what Chance Perdomo was doing in the episode, acting-wise.
I was pissed that he just blindly jumped at him like that.
I don't know. He was clearly the way it was portrayed, the way that it was written. He was at his wit's end. He doesn't know what's going on. A rat had crawled down his throat, and he vomited it up. He's covered in blood. He's apparating all over the place. Yeah. It was great.
Like, he
was
could have opened a French restaurant and had a fine time, but instead he murdered the antipope.
Exactly. And I like the direction they went with this. Like, it was definitely, we talked about this on the last episode, heading a direction where Ambrose was buying into this whole misogynist, fascist regime that's moving in on the witch society in Greendale, but he went in the other direction. Sabrina told him the truth. She told him what was going on, and he was like, okay, we got to do the right thing. Of course, it completely fucked up his life, but it was great.
But I do think, I think this is all him reeling from Lucas's death, because he just pendulum swings in this episode from, like, being all in on this, the fascist stuff, to just, like, recklessly trying to kill some people, to kill Blackwood.
Yeah, once you find out that, like, Blackwood killed Lucas,
I think it's going to be he's in shock from that revelation.
No, but let's loop back to the thing that I said at the beginning of the episode, though, because I do think there's something weird. Granted, all the witches are pansexual, but there's something potentially weird about, you have the one gay couple on the show, you kill off one of the half of the gay couple off screen, and then the other one immediately is like, well, I'm straight for a little bit, I'm pansexual, let me play around with that. I think they're smarter than that, and I feel like there's got to be some swerve there, right? We know on these shows, bodies or it didn't happen. Luke may not be the most important character in the world, but it's very strange to me that they're like, oh, he died, we never saw it happen, goodbye.
But wasn't their relationship also started with a love potion?
Yes.
So that's weird, too.
Right. I feel like there are unresolved things there, and I hope that we are not actually done with Luke, because I would like to see that come back before the end of the season.
I mean,
I don't think
this,
we're done with Luke.
Throughout this, I feel like we might be. The way,
really?
Yeah. I think because it's all about Ambrose's character has been sort of just off his game and, like, adrift. Like, he was trapped in the house for a while, and that's when he was sort of, like, resigned to his fate. And when that opened up for him, he's been just, like, not knowing who he is and where he is. And I feel like that's clear in the way he's acting. He's like, I'm in this relationship. Now I'm not. He's gone. Now he's dead. Now what am I? I'll kill him. I'm running. Like, it's just all over the place.
Yeah. All right. A couple of things before we go.
Well, one other thing, though, before we go. This is the fifth episode. And this, like you said earlier, this feels like we're building to the climax, but there's what, four more episodes
four
to go?
Four more episodes to go.
So
it's
that's
crazy.
That's wild.
Yes.
What do you guys have any predictions? What we're going to see? Four episodes. It's so
four
much
episodes.
Time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think to your point, I think Nick and Sabrina going to Baxter High is probably a good guess. Certainly, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with Theo that we still need to deal with. What is up with his ghost relative?
Yeah.
Exactly. Certainly, the Harvey and Roz stuff needs to be resolved. Roz also going blind. That's something that we're going to have to deal with
at
some point.
Do you think
we're
going to see a scratch Harvey, Sabrina, some resolution with that love triangle?
Well, I think what we're going to see is in the next episode, we're going to deal with them being in the human school and a lot of the human side, since we didn't get any of that this episode. But what I'm really hoping happens is Sabrina is going to come with a plot for Father Black Mother when he gets back. What's going to happen? Annie Z comes back and she's just like, yeah, I took care of that motherfucker. We were on.
No, that's definitely
not that.
Oh, that's definitely happening.
That's definitely not going to happen. Just quick question for you guys. When you were going to school, did you also refer to it as a human school? Because that's what I did.
That's what I went to a human.
Yeah, I went to human school.
Well, off to another day at human high school with the human bullies and the human nerds and the human jocks and the human cools.
Cool. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we'll cast a spooky spell on you. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing human guests we have on our human show.
Follow us on human Twitter at Comic Book Club. What is it? Comic Book Club Live?
Comic Book Live.
Comic Book Live. That's what it is.
Yeah, and at Riverdale Dark also for Riverdale and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina content. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. I'm going to go chug a bottle of baby oil now. You guys want to join me? What are you thinking?
You know I'll be there.